Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Gausel, Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for being with me today. It has always been my intention to skate around politics. Presidents come and presidents go, and politics goes on forever, it seems like. Today, it is a lot different. So many things are happening. There's been a line drawn in the sand. It's so evident and so scary. So we're going to listen to a few clips that are taken from several sources that highlight this problem and bring it into focus. And those of you who have been listening to me for a long time know that I don't bring any hype to this show. I bring in the real facts backed by actual interviews that you can hear yourself, not from my mouth, that back up what we're talking about. And I have no other drum to beat other than the coming of Jesus Christ. As the church, we need to be aware and praying, or the darkness around us will catch us by surprise. These things are actually happening. Psalm 91 reads, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler." And who's the fowler? It's Satan. So we need to be aware. We just can't walk through this world unaware with our heads in the sand, or their ears and with our eyes closed, for we will fall into those snares if we're not careful. Being aware is part of what we're supposed to do as a Christian, or we will be dangerously surprised, and it will affect our friends, it'll affect our families, if we're not on our knees praying. As I look at all these things transpiring, it just eats away at me, and I know that my mission is to declare the Word of God and hopefully bring people to repentance and declare the coming of Jesus Christ. The prophecies are accurate and they are true. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. And I've mentioned this before in other podcasts. Sometimes people look at you, and even Christians, and they say, you're like the boy who cried wolf. He kept crying wolf. People came to rescue him, and there was no wolf there. And finally, when the wolf actually came and he cried out, no one listened and no one came. And the wolf destroyed him. You could say, wow, that's a terrible analogy. But it's true. Prophets and apostles and ministers of Jesus Christ have been declaring his coming since he left 2,000 years ago. But that is no reason to put it in your back pocket and forget about it. What we're going to listen to today is actual quotes. In fact, I have to do more podcasts than I've done before. Usually I do one a week. But lately, I've been doing more because things are happening so fast. And those of you who are listening from all over the world, if you're not aware, I want you to be aware. Especially those of you who are listening in America. We are under siege, and we have been for a long time. But now, a runaway freight train. I'm going to play you a couple of clips from different sources. Today, we're going to concentrate on freedom of speech and freedom of religion here in the United States. We're going to listen to a few clips from Tulsi Gabbard's podcast. In case you're not acquainted with her, she's an American politician. She was a United States Army Reserve officer. She was also a U.S. representative from Hawaii from 2013 to 2021. There's a growing prejudice against those who believe in God, who actually have God in their lives and don't just pull it out once in a while for some political gain. Listen to this clip. I think it speaks for itself. Take a listen.
Vice President Kamala Harris, back when she was a U.S. Senator in 2018, made a comment that membership in the Catholic service-oriented pro-life charity organization, the Knights of Columbus, was disqualifying for the nomination of federal judge Brian Boucher. But you know what she didn't reference, what she didn't talk about, is other members of the Knights of Columbus, like President Kennedy or Senator Ted Kennedy. The other senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, famously scolded Justice Amy Coney Barrett in a Senate hearing.
The law is totally different. And I think in your case, Professor, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
A dogma. Interesting. A dogma is a belief or a body of beliefs concerning faith or morals. Interesting. So I guess we're not supposed to have those. My dad was a member of the Knights of Columbus. My dad fought in World War II, along with 16 million other Americans. And 400,000 of them died for what? For freedom of speech, freedom of religion. What an incredibly insulting statement. Do we really think it's wise to separate God from our decisions and having morals and the Spirit of God to guide us? Is that wise? Someone might say, well, that's true. It's separation of church and state. That was originally written to keep the government out of the church, not the other way around. Our Constitution is based on a creator, was written by men who honored God. Now, they weren't all great men of faith. They all differed. But they all had one thing in common. They knew there was a creator. They knew there was a supreme being. They knew there was a God, and they honored him. It's a process. It's been going on for a while, like I said. But let's listen a little bit of what John F. Kennedy went through. Now, I remember this because I'm an old guy, and I remember my mom talking about it and how he was persecuted. Things were written about him because he was a Catholic. It wasn't about what he stood for or how he lived his own life. It was the label that was on him. Let's check it out.
And where no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him or the people who might elect him. I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source. When no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace or the public acts of its officials. And where religious liberty is so indivisible that an act against one church is treated as an act against all. For while this year it may be a Catholic against whom the finger of suspicion is pointed, in other years it has been, and may someday be again, a Jew or a Quaker or a Unitarian or a Baptist. It was Virginia's harassment of Baptist preachers, for example, that led to Jefferson's statute of religious freedom. Today I may be the victim, but tomorrow it may be you. Until the whole fabric of our harmonious society is ripped apart at a time of great national peril. I would not look with favor upon a president working to subvert the First Amendment's guarantees of religious liberty, nor would our system of checks and balances permit him to do so. And neither do I look with favor upon those who would work to subvert Article 6 of the Constitution by requiring a religious test, even by indirection. For if they disagree with that safeguard, they should be openly working to repeal it.
So things haven't changed. They've just gotten a lot worse. That was taken from 1960 when he was running for president. He was in Houston and he was defending himself before a Protestant conference. Now, we've had two examples of people that were Catholic, but the point is we're heading in a very unhealthy direction. Here is an interview that Tulsi Gabbard did with Jay Sekulow, who many of you may know. He's an attorney. He has been an advocate for free speech and Christian rights. He has appeared before the Supreme Court 9 times. And if you know anything about appearing before the Supreme Court as a lawyer, if you do it once or twice, it's quite an achievement. This is Jay Sekulow talking about the state of our universities today. What makes this critical should be obvious. These are the people who are shaping our lives today and gives us a lens on what's going to happen in the very near future.
I mean, what's going on the college campuses, I don't even want to go speak at a college campus anymore. Why would you subject yourself to this? The last time I did it was at my alma mater. They asked me to be their, this was their big donor event, and I did an event for that, and then they asked me to speak to the students. They said, I'll be about 200 students show up, and there was like 1,000. And this was in the middle of the impeachment stuff, but I did it. I called the president of the university. I said, you know, I'm handling a fairly controversial matter right now. You may want to rethink me coming. Oh, no, this will be good. They were so rude, these students.
No
that
kidding.
I got up, and then, as you know, we've known each other a long time. I'm not a shy person.
No.
I said, I am your guest.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the way you treat a guest? And then a student quoted something that he said, or she said, that I had said, which was from a Law Review article I wrote, citing something Abraham Lincoln said. And they were trying to turn it into something else. But that's what's happened. And you see that in the law schools, too. I mean, the law schools right now, if you're a Jewish student on a law school campus, UC Berkeley, they basically have Jewish-free zones right now.
The climate that's around us, it is filled with hate, prejudice, and those that are hollering the loudest about acceptance are the ones causing the most abuse. The bottom line is, you think our way, or you head on the highway. Here's an example. If we go back to March of 2020, when Senator Schumer is standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, yelling and screaming because things didn't go his way. Take a listen.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
To refer to conservative justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh by their last names was disrespectful. Later on, Chief Justice John Roberts said Schumer's words were not only inappropriate, but they're dangerous. Why are they dangerous? Well, this is the Supreme Court. Now, you can agree or disagree with the Supreme Court. That's our prerogative. That's a lawyer's prerogative. But if you make the highest court in the land to be irrelevant, that's dangerous. Let's listen to what Jay Sekulow has to say about that.
Senator Schumer went to the front of the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States and screamed at the top of his lungs to Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh, you will rule the day. You're going to reap a whirlwind. And then, of course, you had basically an assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh. How did we get here? And I look at back in the 1980s when I argued cases, started arguing cases, and although there was a big ideological divide, you never had that kind of relationship. The justices were closer. The public, I think, had a better understanding of what the rule of law was and is supposed to be. And I think the confirmation process, Tulsi, is actually symptomatic of where we are in our culture. And it's a dangerous place. The idea that you cannot have a common meeting of the minds or agree to disagree. And that's now, like, you know, totally politically incorrect to have a differing view.
You can't have a different opinion about abortion. You can't have a different opinion about the gender craze. You can't have a different opinion about who you're going to vote for president. It has to be the one way. And I have to say, the Democratic Party is not the party that I once knew. My parents voted for John F. Kennedy. Listen, I'm a 60s kid. We stood up for a lot of stuff. We marched for a lot of things. We hollered and screamed about the Vietnam War. We were all about voting for the Democrats. We marched and supported civil rights. I voted for Jimmy Carter when he ran for president. Those days are over. And I'm not saying the Republican Party's much better. That's why it's important for us as Christians. We belong to Jesus Christ. I would never tell anyone how to vote. That's our God-given right in this country, in the United States of America. It's getting more and more difficult. But when things are so blatant, we must take notice of them. This whole thing is wrapping up. Whether we want to wrap our heads around that or not, it's happening. And we can't be asleep. For the scripture clearly tells us that we should not be asleep like others. We should be aware. What makes it so vital is that people that see this stuff going on, they see AI moving in, they see the climate changing so drastically in the world with wars and everything that's happening. At this moment, we've also heard that Russia has moved troops from some of the area in Syria that they've been in since 2016 closer to the Israel border. Unfortunately, few are covering this because of everything else that's going on in the world. Take a listen.
In a region already fraught with tension, the Middle East is once again thrust into the spotlight as reports emerge of Russian forces edging closer to the Israel-Syria border. This development, confirmed by multiple sources, including Syrian state media, raises significant concerns for Israel's security apparatus. The strategic significance of the Golan Heights cannot be overstated. Control of this terrain offers a vantage point over both Syria and Israel, making it a focal point for regional power dynamics. With Russian forces making advancements in this sensitive area, questions arise regarding Moscow's intentions and their potential ramifications for the already complex geopolitical landscape.
Bible prophecy is being fulfilled so quickly and with such intensity that it's hard to keep up with it. Yet, millions, dare I say billions of people, have no idea how close they are to the coming of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to lay all our allegiances down and only focus on the mission. If you're a Christian, you don't belong to this world. The Bible tells us that we are sojourning. This is not our home. Not until it gets renovated by the Lord God Almighty, until He returns. So whatever your feelings are about all the issues that are going on today in this world, especially here in America, what are our intentions? Do we have agendas that don't meet the Word of God, that aren't pleasing in the sight of God? Those agendas need to be checked at the door. There's only one Savior. And the only person that's going to save this world is Jesus Christ. There's not a Republican, there's not a Democrat that's going to do it for you and I. It's time to pray. It's time to speak out. It's time to share your testimony with other people. It's time to bring in the harvest, for our time is short. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the red heifer and how this massive altar for the 10th red heifer sacrifice has been built in Israel. It is a purification ceremony that will allow Jews to pray on the Temple Mount, and we know how controversial that is. It is also a precursor to the coming Messiah. This is Russ Galzo for Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for listening. Keep looking up. The King is coming.